Blog Talk Radio.
It's hump day, everyone. Welcome to the Cave Show. This is PLR. Happy Wednesday to one to all. Good day of sports to talk into. Just about 48 hours out of NBA contracts announcing whether they want to be free agents, whether they want in, exactly what they're going to do. LeBron James staying, Paul George going. Boogie Cousins, what is he going to do? Will the Pelicans pay him his money? All that stuff coming up. It's going to be very interesting over the next few days. Hopefully everyone's having a good Wednesday. Got some baseball to talk about. Argentina. They found a way. They're moving on in the World Cup. All these polls are coming out. Who's the best player in the NFL? It always boils down to a quarterback. At this point, the MVP race in football should just be called the Quarterback of the Year Award. Just like the Heisman Award winner should just be the Quarterback of the Year Award. It's starting to become ridiculous. Again, welcome to the Cave Show. This is PLR. We're brought to you by Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, located on Alma School in Chandler Heights in Chandler, Arizona. Get in there, let them know that PLR sent you. You can take 10% off of any cigar that you purchase. Also, become a member. Get a locker, backs up to a humidor. Never, ever worry about your sticks going bad. Get that membership, and remember, Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco now serves wine and beer. They're located on Alma School and Chandler Heights in Chandler, Arizona. Again, that's Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco. Let them know the PLR sent you, and get 10% off of any cigar purchase that you may have. Any calls made on the Carrie Lackey Law Line? Our calling number is 917-889-7828, 917-889-7828. Getting any of those topics I want to add to them. I do have a caller on the line. Thank you for waiting. Appreciate your patience. You're in the Cave Show. This is PLR. Whom do I have the privilege of speaking to?
Afternoon, Paul. This is You Know Who again with the 4 o'clock call.
Lou, what up, buddy? How are you?
All right. Well, two more days and this whole guessing game will be over. But Lakers are really pushing for Leonard, you know, because it's up against the clock, because they got to figure what LeBron's going to do as of Friday. Like, well, should I opt out of my contract for a year, or should I sign for another year? So the pressure's really on.
You know something? I have an angle that no one has thought about, or maybe they have, and they said it, and I just didn't hear it. But the team that everyone is chasing, okay, so Let me back up a little bit, Lou. So years ago, when LeBron went down to Miami, everyone said, obviously this is going to be the team to beat. They got to the finals. First go around, they lost to Dallas, and then they put two in a row together again. And then they ended up losing to San Antonio, and we all know they could have easily have lost to San Antonio in back-to-back series, but they did. And so a lot of teams, a lot of people say, oh, man, we got to chase LeBron down. If he's not playing for us, then that's the team you have to beat. That's the team you have to worry about. Well, that has changed since. Golden State has become the team to beat, the team that everyone wants to chase. The Houston Rockets have manufactured a team built as close to Golden State as they can to beat Golden State at they want to call Golden State's game. And Cleveland with LeBron James really can't even beat Golden State. I mean, they beat them once. We know that. We know what happened. You know, Golden State had two tragic injuries and a suspension, and it took, like, the world to stop on his axis for 1 second for that to happen. But nonetheless, LeBron James got one there. So now everyone is saying, well, how can we beat Golden State? How can we beat Golden State? How can we go to State? We got to add LeBron to do it. I say no, just the opposite. If you're Boston with a healthy Kyrie and a healthy Gordon Hayward, you're probably better than Cleveland right now. Philadelphia, if they add a Paul George or add someone like that, they're probably better than Cleveland right now. So I think there are teams that can compete with Golden State, and that should be more their target instead of disrupting everything you've had to get LeBron. And as James Harden said when he won the MVP the other night was, I don't think this was to LeBron per se, but when he said, we were a Chris Paul injury away from getting to the finals anyway. If everyone pretty much works on their game, improves their game, and just constantly gets better, we should be better. And to be honest with you, I think that was the most refreshing thing I heard, because as an old guy growing up watching basketball, I remember watching the Detroit Pistons get better. Tinker a little bit here and there, but get better to beat Boston. And it took them a couple years. Then I watched the Bulls take 2 or 3 years to get better to beat the Pistons. And it was a maturation process without necessarily disrupting your whole core of your team to do that. And so I like what Houston's done. I like what Boston's done. I like what, Philly is doing. Maybe the best thing for LeBron is to stay in Cleveland and add to that and do it almost the old school way, as opposed to finding a team and then hopping on that team. But by hopping on that team, you're disrupting the chemistry that team already had, when we already know that Cleveland is LeBron's team. So I see this as LeBron opting in a year, maybe Paul George opting in or staying or in OKC. Maybe he stays, maybe he goes somewhere else. And then San Antonio still owns the rights to Kawhi. Maybe what's best for L.A. is to wait. If LeBron opts in for a year, you get him next year. If you get him next year, you still have the same money. And now he can also join Kawhi. So there's a lot of moves that could be made. But I think what teams are doing is saying, wow, we got to add LeBron to compete. But you probably are close to competing with them already without adding him. So as people got on Kevin Durant for leaving to go join the team, that they said that, you know, he shouldn't have went to the team that they just beat. Well, I don't want LeBron to go hop on Boston or go hop on Philly or go hop on the Lakers. And by hopping on the Lakers, I honestly don't think that makes them a better team than Houston or Golden State. So really it just comes down to his priority. So we'll see, Lou, but I like your point. I mean, we'll see what happens.
Yeah, we'll see. All right, switching gears for a minute. Game 2 of the College World Series tonight. Well, it's do or die now for the Beavers.
Yeah, that's going to be fun to watch.
Well, depends.
You know, well, the Beavers are a Pac-12 team. Just thought I'd Pac-11
that's
team.
True.
Excuse me, I thought I'd throw it out. No, notice
that's
I said
true.
Pac-11, by the way.
Yeah, that's true. They are better at basketball than they are at baseball.
Yeah, so interesting. College World Series is funny because it's still very popular, but I remember when the College World Series was just, like, ridiculously popular.
Right. Well, it's not popular, though, in this part of the country, though.
No, not as much. I remember, though, when teams like Texas had, you know, the Rocket playing for them and all those names that you knew of, and you knew that they were can't-miss can't miss guys in the next level.
Yeah, here it doesn't even measure on the Richter scale.
No. And out here, to be honest with you, I know ASU has a pretty good hockey team, but it really is the same when it comes to college hockey. It doesn't really register that much out here.
No, that's more up north.
So,
you know, like Boston,
yeah, there's some
Chicago, a colder climate.
Minnesota. Yep, Minnesota.
Yeah.
Those areas. We'll see. We'll see what happens with that.
Yeah, so I'm not surprised. I mean, but basically, our college teams in college hockey just suck. So, but that's not necessarily the other. Yeah. And Serena is getting some satisfaction as she's now seeded 25th in the women's bracket after being unseeded when she went to the French Open.
And either way, think about that, Lou. If you're unseeded, and which means you're probably going to play one of the top tennis players when you win your qualifying match, whatever they call it, and say you're ranked number, I don't know, 12th in the world, 10th in the world, whichever, and you get your unseeded opponent, and it's Serena Williams. Do you really feel happy that you're playing the unseeded opponent, and it's Serena Williams?
No, but I think she was treated unfairly, though, just because she had to step out because she was having a baby. And, you know, screwed her.
Yeah, I agree with that, but it's just funny that if you're the seeded tennis player, though, you don't feel that you have an advantage. I mean, when you really stop and think about it, she didn't lose in the French. She stopped because of injury.
Right.
And I'm sure Sharapova was extremely happy that she stopped, because Sharapova hasn't beat her since the DeSoto was a car everyone wanted to buy.
Oh, wow.
So
I was going to say you go, but okay.
So it's been forever. And now as a 25th seed, it's kind of the same draw that she's going to get. No, she's not unseeded, but let her win a couple matches. She's now playing seeds 4, 5, 6, 7. You think they want to look up and see Serena? And for the other tennis players, you're almost better with her getting a 1-seed draw, a 2-seed draw. So that way your hopes is that by the time you play her, since she hasn't played a lot of matches, that from playing matches, she may be gassed a little. You know, because after playing 4 or 5 days, maybe you worn her down. Now you're going to get a fresh Serena playing you as a 6, 7, 8 seed, and she's a 25th seed. That sucks for everyone else.
Exactly.
You know, so I bet they're like, dang it, make her a 1 seed. Make her a 3 seed. At least we can wear her out. So it's kind of funny. I don't know if I've ever told you this, but tennis is one of my favorite sports. And
didn't mention that.
I am one of my dreams in life is to not just go to, but cover Wimbledon. And I definitely want to do that. That is my favorite. U.S. Open is second. I've actually covered the unofficial 5th major out in Palm Springs before. Out in Palm Springs, California, the tournament that's in March.
I was going to say what was the unofficial 5th major, because golf has that, and they call that the Memorial. So.
It's the Paravis out in Palm Springs. It's every March, and I've covered that before. And I'll tell you something, covering tennis is a sheer joy.
I'm sure. But you only cover that on radio, correct?
Well. In terms of doing a show, yes, but I got to interview, talk to players just like I would do at a baseball game. So I credentialed out there and had an interview with Nadal, Federer, and a few other players. It was incredible. Incredible.
One day, hopefully, I'll get to interview somebody like that myself. Maybe not tennis,
I'll tell
but
you,
just to interview somebody.
let me tell you this. This is one of the coolest things I ever got to do. So
yeah.
I don't know if they still do this tour or not, but there was a tour of and they do it. I shouldn't even say that. I just want to stop coming to Phoenix, which sucks. But there's a tour,
right.
And I hate to call it like a senior tour, but it has like McEnroe and Chang and Courier and all those guys on
yet.
No, but he's still in this tournament thing, and it came out here, and got to interview Courier, and I was like, how cool is this? And then
yeah.
got to a room and got to interview McEnroe. So it was
Uh-oh.
John McEnroe. It was John McEnroe and like five or six reporters. No more than that. Oh, and Pete Sampras is on this tour too. But with McEnroe, it was like five or six of us in a room with Johnny Mac. He answered questions for about 40 minutes nonstop. He told stories. He talked about how he brings his guitar with him. He talked about what songs he likes to play, things he likes to do. He talked about the men's American tennis game and how colleges can help the men's tennis game. He talked about some of the disagreements that he had with his brother on how the men's game could get better. And he was honestly, Lou, one of the coolest. Out of all the interviews I've ever done, that Johnny Mac interview was top five.
Yeah. But how was his temper?
No, seriously. It was like, honestly, it was like talking to just like Steve, who's coming up from single A baseball. He was relaxed, chilled, and just talked. That interview and the year before Kobe Bryant, maybe it was 2 years before, 2 years before Kobe Bryant retired, he was in his locker here in Phoenix after the Lakers had played a game, and he had his knees on ice. He had ice on his knees, his ankles sitting in buckets, and he was just sitting there kind of holding court. It was probably about, I don't know, six or seven of us in the locker room, and he was just talking basketball. No, not the game that he had played or anything. He was just sitting there talking hoops. And that was one of the other top five best interviews I've ever been a part of because he was just relaxed and talking. And it was cool as heck. But, yeah, that Johnny Mac deal, getting back to tennis, was really cool.
Yeah, but I bet when he saw boy, hey, at least that ball was out. That ball was out just a few seconds ago. Oh, boy. I had to do it.
Yeah, man, he was great. He's great. He's great.
Yeah.
Well, listen, let me jump.
Let me,
I got Tony
one
Collins.
More thing, though. What do you think was worse, though, Connors or him, temper-wise?
Connors.
Wow. I would have said McEnroe.
Connors. And here's why I say Connors. Because McEnroe just kind of let it out, and that was pretty much it. Connors, he just chirped, and it was kind of vicious chirping. McEnroe just complained about calls. Connors seemed like he was ready to decapitate you. If that makes any sense.
I get it, but
I don't
wow.
mean it. I don't mean it like I think Connors was a great player. I really truly do.
Oh, yeah.
And he was a great competitor. But McEnroe seemed more like I don't want to say it like this, but he seemed more like when your kid gets mad and throws a tantrum. Connors was more like and so it was a little bit harsher. That's my opinion.
Okay, because I always remember growing up that I only remember when Connors lost his temper at McEnroe. Other than that, I just thought he was kind of mild-mannered. While McEnroe built up the reputation for being the bad boy of tennis.
Yeah, he was, but to me it was more like a tantrum, not a temper. And I know you can say a temper tantrum, and I'm parsing words here. I thought Connors was more serious with his temper, where McEnroe was more like a dude, stop being a crybaby, and I guess that's a good way to put it.
I mean, even in a commercial, it was for a camera company, and he was like, oh my God, he had to do it.
Yeah,
McEnroe was doing
it
for a camera commercial, and he just, you know, just went into it. Oh boy, that was hilarious.
So I think that's I mean, that explains the point even more. You know what I mean? He's more, it was more tantrum. This is, who I am, as opposed to,
right.
You know what? Oh, so you think that's a bad? Okay. Wait till after this match is over. And that's not that either one is right or wrong. It's just they came off different to me.
Yeah. Okay, I'm about to go have dinner anyway, so it's a good time to go.
All right, buddy. I will talk to you. Thanks, Lou.
I don't know if I'm doing an early post game tomorrow or not. If I don't, I will come on. If not, I'll have to talk to you on Friday.
Sounds good, my friend.
All right. Thanks.
All right, thanks, buddy. Good friend of the program, Lou. Always good to hear from him. Waiting on a Kerry Lackey Law line now, the one, the only Cuban cowboy from South Beach, Tony Capobianco. Tony, what's going on, my friend?
I came here for the specific purpose of doing the impossible today, making you feel old.
Wow. My kids do that every day.
So here's the reason why. I'm working on a story about Don Mattingly, the Marlins manager and New York Yankee legend for thesportskid.com.
Okay.
Reminiscing about the beginning of his career. It was 49 years ago. He got drafted by the Yankees and started his first season in the New York Penn League with Oneonta. That year, 1979. He was a high school senior in Evansville, Indiana.
Whoa.
He used to go watch.
Wait. That wasn't 49 years ago.
1979.
That's not 49. That's 39 years ago.
Well, there we go. I made you feel old. I made myself feel young.
What kind of math did they teach you down at that school in Tucson?
That's not math. That's just me being a millennial. Once you get past 20 years, it all might as well be a century ago. So 39 years ago. That's still a really long time. It's like generations ago. But the tidbit that I wanted to bring out was when he was a high school senior in 79 at Evansville, they had a Triple A team down there. And the manager was Jim Leland. And the prospect that was featured on that team was Kirk Gibson, the former Diamondbacks manager. So you can imagine that. One legend watching another legend being coached by another legend. All in one place.
That's incredible. All in Evansville, Indiana.
All in Evansville, Indiana.
Have you ever been to Evansville, Indiana?
I drove past it a couple of times.
Yeah,
I used to live in Indiana for I couldn't think of a worse place to spend the summer than Indiana.
Okay.
At one point.
How many states have you been to? Or do this, reverse it. How many states have you not been to?
Have I not been to? That's actually easy.
Yeah, out of the 50 states. Yeah, that's why I said let's reverse it.
Kansas, Arkansas, Montana, Washington, Oregon. I haven't been to either Dakotas, nor Nebraska, nor Iowa. I have avoided Alabama, Louisiana, Mississippi. I think that's and Hawaii and Alaska. I think that's about it.
Dang it, dude. You know what? I thought you'd been to more states than me. And believe it or not, I've actually got you beat.
We're both Johnny Cash songs.
I have not been to Alaska.
I'm an Edward man.
I know. I've not been to Alaska. I've not been to Maine, Vermont, New Hampshire, Rhode Island, Massachusetts, or Connecticut. I have not been to South Carolina or North Dakota or Alabama. And I have not been to Ohio or Michigan. Wait, I had a layover in one of those. I don't remember which one. Technically, I've been to one, but I've been to everywhere else. I've actually been to Montana, Wyoming. I almost went to college in Idaho, so I went there for a visit. And I've hit the whole Washington
State.
Yep, I actually went to Idaho. Dude, out of all of them, I've been to Wyoming. I mean, I don't think I need to say anything else. I've been to Wyoming.
There's some good spots in Wyoming. If you hate people, Wyoming's actually a wonderful state. If you don't mind altitude and you hate people, that's the state to go to.
One of the funniest things I've ever heard. Because you won't see, you definitely won't see that many people.
Yeah, Portland, Maine is a party town. I learned that when I was down there.
Really?
Even though the bars close at 1 a.m., it's quite the scene.
All right.
It's easy for minor league teams to go up there and drink up and have a fun time and then play hungover in those 10 o'clock games. So like early late morning, early afternoon games.
All right. I'll take your word for it on that one.
One more thing about the story I've been writing about, because it has a little bit about about what life was like for a minor leaguer. They would bus from place to place. Back in the early 80s, Manning League would have like a meal budget per day of $8.50. So $4.20 on the way to the game and $4.20 back. You know how much a quarter pounder was in McDonald's during that time?
I think it was $1.79.
That would have got you two of those.
Really?
A quarter pounder with cheese. And I looked this up. I found like a menu from like late 70s or like early 80s. A quarter pounder with cheese was 70 cents.
That's crazy.
Legends like Tony Gwynn and Dave Winfield and Mattingly were being fueled by 48 cent Filet-O-Fish in the minor leagues.
That's crazy. That is crazy.
Compared to today, nutrition is nuts.
Okay, Tony, so I've got a story. This is so you're talking sports and I'm giving you everything that's not sports. So back in 19-something, I went on a date in high school. And we went to a movie and we went for food. And the movie, we went to a matinee on a Saturday. The movie to get in on a matinee then with the student discount was $2. And I'm not talking – or $2.25. And I'm not talking like dollar theater movie. I mean like top of the run, first run, movie out, $2.25. My date didn't want anything from – I paid all of $4.50. And I take that back. I got a popcorn because I refuse to go to movies without popcorn. I don't know why. I don't need popcorn any other time other than Garrett's Popcorn in Chicago. They should pay me for saying that. But I don't need popcorn any other time. So I think I got out of the theater for under $10. Easy. We then went to grab a bite to eat, and our bite to eat was at White Castle's. At that time, hamburgers at White Castle were 20 cents, I want to say. Cheeseburgers were like 25, 30. Because I don't think she wanted me to see how much she ate. She only got like three White Castles. I got about four. And she didn't want fries, and she wanted a drink. And I got a drink. And I think drinks at that time were like $1 for a large, like the big sizes. I got out of White Castles for less than $6. So between the movie and dinner, I went on a date in 1980-something for less than $16. And I thought I was a big spender. Pull that off, my friend.
Well, nowadays, you can't even park for that much money.
I know. In 1980, whatever, I got a second date off of movies and the White Castle, all for under $16 for both of us. Take that to the bank.
Those are the good old days, for real.
I know.
Imagine the currency exchange rate over there for like if you were a time traveler. I'd go to CVS, I get $20 cash back for like $5 drink. I'll take that $20 and I'm good for the month.
Dude, can you imagine? I was at McDonald's for my kids one day, and I looked up and like a quarter pounder meal is like $7. I'm like, this is freaking McDonald's. How is it $7? And
there's a 1,000% increase.
Yes.
From like
and McDonald's, they do the dumbest thing ever. And we're getting back to sports after this. So they sell, so my kid wanted a double hamburger. So I say, well, can I have a double hamburger? Lady goes, $2.50. I'm like, okay, let me change that. Let me get a McDouble, no cheese. She's like, oh, that's $1.79. Dude, who does that pricing?
Was the size any different?
There's no difference.
They have like the two cheeseburger option, and those might as well be frisbees. Compared to like
mini
the real
frisbees.
Stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, no, a double stack and a double hamburger is the exact same thing, but if you order it as a double stack without cheese, it's $1.79. If you order it as a double hamburger, $50. And what makes it even more ridiculous, they have a $3 menu, and you can get a triple cheeseburger, get this, for $3. But if you get a triple hamburger, it's $3.60. So you have to order a triple cheeseburger without cheese to keep it $3.
It's quite possible that McDonald's has more names than items.
Oh, yeah. Or, as I told my son one day, as opposed to buying that, why don't I buy you three hamburgers, which are 95 cents each, get rid of all the bread, and just stack the patties?
That is the fast food equivalent to that Cat Williams joke when he talked to his son, like, hey, you can get this Xbox for like $300, or the games are $50, you get three of them, or you get the Nintendo 64 and 20 games for half the price.
But see, that's a different thing, right? You know what I mean? Those are different
concepts. It feels like the same concept.
But it's the same thing. Who does the pricing at McDonald's? When you go to the grocery store to buy orange juice, and they have 64 ounces on sale for like $1.99, or you could buy the 128-ounce jug for $7. Why don't I just buy the two that are on sale for $1.99? Who does the pricing?
I think that's a trick, though. I think they do that because they think, oh, well, I don't want to lug this big old jug into the trunk. I'll get the smaller one. And they don't really know that they pay more.
I think the one, the only, Tony Capobianco, as we're talking prices of jugs of juice. As well
see,
as
see, life
McDonald's
has
prices.
Life has changed for me. You guys have like a nice like house, maybe one or two story tops or ranches in Arizona. I live on the sixth floor. I sometimes have to think about this when I go to the grocery store, thinking how many things can I really like carry up like from my car to the elevator up to my condo. I don't really need to get this much stuff. I'll pay 50 cents more just for like the half liter.
I hear you. I hear you, my man.
Struggle's real up in here.
Hey, I don't know if you heard before. This is our last thing to hop into. I was talking about the Lakers and Magic Johnson came out, and just breaking news, Adam Silver has signed an extension, a five-year extension, the state commissioner of the NBA. He's the best commissioner in sports anyway. So, but Magic Johnson basically said if he doesn't get the job done by next summer, he'll quit. If he doesn't get the free agents to come there, he'll quit. Okay. I have two things to say to Magic. One, you have a very good young nucleus. A very good young nucleus. Do you think the NBA is so into getting that big name that they've lost track that sometimes you can just get better by using this crazy thing called time?
Time is good for places like Phoenix and Oklahoma City, and Utah. Time is nothing to markets like L.A., almost like a majority of the stars want to go to. And I think the whole purpose of Magic Johnson even being head of basketball operations was to get these guys in the first place. So if he comes up short for these two major free agent summers, yeah, I could see him leaving. There's also the same guy that had, like, who quit after 10 games as being the coach. So to say that he's just going to bounce after after coming up short for two big summers, yeah, I can see that happening.
So let me ask you a crazy question. I want you to put on your – there used to be a cartoon, and the guy used to say, I want you to put on your way back cap on this one, okay?
I just told you
I want you to tell
the 70s.
Yeah, so I want you to tell me, after Shaquille O'Neal, and we know Kobe was a rookie traded for a draft day trade for the Lakers. Mm-hmm. After Shaquille O'Neal, I want you to name all the big name stars that came and played as a free agent for the Los Angeles Lakers.
Does Kobe coming back count?
Does who?
Does Kobe coming back count?
Kobe never left.
He resigned. I can't think of
anybody. No, I'm not. Nobody. I'd give you one, Dwight Howard, but he was traded for, and then he didn't resign.
Yeah.
So name one. Name one superstar that came as a free agent to the Lakers.
Does Gary Payton or Karl Malone count?
They count. They were gone after one year. Yep, gone after 1 year, right? So when the Lakers are saying they need to make this big free agency splash, that's never been how they've done business in the past. If you go back even further, they traded for Kareem. They drafted Norm Nixon. They drafted Magic. They drafted A.C. Green. They drafted James Worthy. They signed, if you want to say free agent signing, they signed Elvin Hayes, I believe was a signing. I think they traded for Michael Thompson as a reserve. And then you had the Shaq Kobe years. They drafted, they technically didn't, but he was a free agent. I mean, it was a draft day trade. So he never played anywhere else. Shaq, they signed as a high price free agent. Derek Fisher was theirs. If you want to call Ron Harper a high-priced free agent after he came from the Bulls, go for it. I call him a role player. If you want to call Glenn Robinson a high-priced free agent, go for it. Tell me what he did after 1 year in L.A. Nothing. All this stuff was done in Miami. So it's kind of funny that their high-priced free agent, their nucleus now is Ball drafted, Julius drafted, Kuzma drafted. This is the way they've always built the teams. So when we say every free agent wants to go and play for the Lakers, what free agent stars have done it?
Hardly any. But this is also a league though where most of the star players end up staying with the team. There are a few exceptions. LeBron being one
right.
of them. But it's just, I feel like it's just like, or at least what's been perpetrated out there for decades, is there are only four or five cities that all these rich star basketball players want to go to, and LA's always one of them. LA's got two teams, but no one really sees the Clippers as being a viable team, so it's always the Lakers. So it's either the Lakers, or they want to go to the Knicks, or they want to go to the Heat, or they want to go to the Bulls, and there's never any other place. Even if
right.
it's not reality, it always feels like perception.
And it is a fake perception because I want you to back up again and put on your way back hat one more time. Who was the last really good, high-priced, free agent that joined the Knicks? Not traded for, that joined the Knicks.
Steve Nash.
That joined the Knicks. Steve Nash hasn't played for the Knicks.
Oh, the Knicks. I got stuck on the Lakers. Amari Stoudemire, though. That was the last one, right?
Yeah, that was the last one. Steve Nash did not sign with the Lakers. He was a trade.
Oh, he was?
From the Suns. Yes.
Oh.
Because the Suns had to do a sign-and-trade because there was no way to get Steve Nash in the cap for the Lakers without that. And I'll give you one more thing. You said the Bulls. Michael drafted. Scotty drafted. Oakley drafted. They signed Dennis Rodman. Horace Grant, drafted. Bill Cartwright, traded for. Tell me the last high-priced free agent that willingly went to Chicago and signed there.
The last one I can think of was Carl Boozer.
Carlos Boozer. That was it. So my point is, we always talk, there's these high market teams that everyone had to in the past get to play for. But they didn't. They didn't. Karl Malone stayed in Utah for the most part until his career was over and he went ring chasing. Gary Payton, Sean Kemp stayed in Seattle until Gary Payton went ring chasing. And I'm not saying this as a negative, so don't get me wrong. I'm saying their careers in other cities. Patrick Ewing was drafted to the Knicks. Reggie Miller was from L.A. He never bolted back to L.A. He played his entire career with Indiana. Isaiah Thomas had an opportunity to go to the Knicks. He retired. He won't leave Detroit. Joe Dumars, Detroit. Same Detroit. All these guys that we always say wanted to go to these big markets and do all this stuff, they didn't do it. Kevin Durant he didn't even want to take a meeting with the Lakers. And he went to Golden State. Now, Golden State was a better team, but he still went to a small market. He could have said, you know what? I'm not going to go to say they already got a team. I'm going to go down to L.A., live this L.A. life, be on the Lakers, have the mystique behind me with the Lakers. If I go up here to Golden State, it's still Steph's team. He's still the star of the start, Clay and all these guys. And I'm more one of the guys. I could go down to L.A. and be the man in L.A. And he chose not to. I'd go to New York. Hell, I could even go to D.C. Chose not to. So there's this mystique about the Lakers having to land this win. In all honesty, they need time. And they need to let their stew simmer and cook. Because when Shaq left, the Lakers were bad. They didn't get free agents. They made a very wise trade to bring in Pau Gasol. They made a very wise trade to bring in Lamar Odom. But these weren't free agents that just came flocking to the Lakers. So I love the mystique that they've created, but it's never happened.
And then you think about it, what team has constantly added major free agents, like star free agents, the one team that constantly will show up to this one market? There really isn't that many. Or
no. The playoffs did fine this year, rating wise. And guess who weren't in it? The Knicks, the Bulls, the Lakers, or the Clippers. The three largest TV markets are nowhere to be found. And the NBA did just fine.
Although they did
think about that
go for down a bit this year, though, right?
No, the ratings are fine. Even with the sweep, the Golden State Cleveland series was a marketing success. Tony, tell everyone how they get a hold of you.
Follow me on Instagram at Tony Capobianco and check out thesportscave.com for my upcoming article on Don Mattingly and the early days of minor league baseball in the 70s.
There you go, my man. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Yes.
Tony will be at the Diamondback Miami game tomorrow. Looking forward to hearing what he has to say about that. He was on the Kerry Lackey Law Line. Tomorrow, Suns Debate's very own Kyle Fleeger, Fleegs, will be joining us to talk about what he thinks the Suns need to do in free agency. Thanks for hanging with us today. Appreciate it. This is The Cave Show. This is PLR. Make sure you're following us on social media at Sports Cave on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook fan page. Like Tony said, you can also get us at sportscave.com. Remember, Cave is always, 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 always with the K. And you can get me directly on Twitter at PLR on Sports. Until next time, this has been The Cave Show. This is PLR. Everyone have a great hump day. Later.